I want to focus for a few minutes on the uniqueness of the Makkah of Barad. I think you just see it from the psukim themselves, number one, and I think the way that the story is told. So let's begin with, you see source one, just how it talks about the introduction here. Right? This is, number one, I think the first thing that stands out about Barad is it's really long. There's a lot more in the Torah about Barad. It's a long story and a back and forth. There's a lot of words there. It's very descriptive. A lot of Makot are just simply few psukim. But here we have a long dialogue. So if we have this introduction, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, when God says to Moshe, Ashkem Baboker, Yedat Sev Neparo, get up in the morning, stand in front of Paro. Vamartai Lo Komar Hashem Lokevim Shlacha Tamivi Avduni. So said God, the Lord of the Hebrews, send my nation, they will serve me. That's something you will find phrased in many of the Makos. That's not unique, right? But then we have the following. Kibapam hazot, because this time, and you might see the words this time, it means that something's happening, you know. Anisho leach, I'm sending, a kol magevotai, all of my plagues. I'm hitting you with everything. El lebcha, to your heart. Uva avadecha uva amecha, and your servants and your nation. Ba'avor teda ki in kamoni b'chol aretz, that you should know that that there's nothing like, no one like me in the whole land. Ki ata, and here's another interesting. First of all, God says to Paro via Moshe, I'm going to hit you with everything I got. Like, I'm sending you everything right now. This time you're going to get it. Now, that is a really fascinating phrase. As if to say that until now, God's been holding back, you know. He's letting Paro go easy. Just Dom Tzvardea. Okay, a little blood air in there. And now I'm going to get you, Paro. Right? And look what he says here. Ki ata shalachti et yadi, va'ach otcha ve'et amcha badaver. For I have already now sent my hand and struck you and your nation with a plague, batikachein min ha'aretz, which should mean, and you have been effaced from the earth. V'ulam, but yet, bavor zos ha'ematicha, I have held on to you, I've stood you up until now, bavor ha'aretcha et kochi, to show you my strength, v'laman saper shemi b'chol ha'aretz, in order to make my name known throughout the land. So what is this? It's really interesting. There's almost this reference to Dever. There's this reference to a previous plague, and he says, I kept you though so that you could see what I'm about to do now. So what's the nature of number one, the uniqueness of Barad, and number two, why reference Dever? What is he doing? And by the way, he hasn't even said what's going to happen yet. This is all introductory. He hasn't even said, this is all this, you're really going to get it now, Paro. And like, this could have been it. This could have been the end. That's what we're going to see. So take a look at a number of the Mefarshim described and understand why Barad is introduced by this phrase of Kol Magevotai. Now I'm sending everything at you. So I'll just note, by the way, parenthetically, there's a whole tumult about a Rashi. Because you know what Rashi says about Kol Magevotai? He says, you learn that Makat Bechorot is Shekula Kenega Kol Makos. What's the problem, obviously? This is not Makat Bechorot, right? This isn't Makos Bechoros. This is Barad. What are you talking about, Rashi? So there's a whole tumult. If you look at the Mefarshim, they really try to, like, stoop in Barad into the word Makat Bechorot. Like, Bechorot doesn't mean the firstborn children. It means, like, from the word Bikurim, the early crops. It's a mess, honestly. No one knows what happened with that Rashi. But most Mefarshim understand this refers to Barad. So the question is, why is Barad so harsh? What is different about it? So you have the Evan Ezra says as follows. Ki hisker magifotai ba'avor ha-kolot v'ha-barad v'ha-matar v'ha-ish she-hit-chabru. Right? What is special about Barad? That there was hail, rain, and fire that combined. It's a multifaceted plague. It wasn't just one thing. It was a lot all at once. And he says, Lo ra'inu, and this we'll get back to later, Lo ra'inu shepachad para b'chol ha'makot ha'ovro kasher pachad mizo. V'amar Hashem ha'tzadik. We don't find that Paro was afraid of all the different plagues that happened to him as he was afraid of this one. And he said afterward, God is righteous. So we'll get to that. And it really impacts Paro. But it's number one, the first approach is that it's just a lot at once. The Bechor Shor here, of Yosef Bechor Shor, adds that also that this is, if you look at the Makos, and this is another interesting thing about Varad, if you look at the Makos, most of the time they weren't deadly, right? Most of the time, what happens when there's a Maka? What happens is that that the Egyptians suffer. It's annoying, it's very inconvenient, but they don't die. They don't die. For Barad, it killed. It killed the people and the animals. And it broke houses. It was destructive. It was deadly. Right? That is the first that this happens. It's only that Emakas Bechor was really the Ara direct. But here's the thing. So that's why it's special, okay? But then you have the second comment where he mentions Dever. And look what the Rashbam says here. Kiata. Kishahaya Dever shel behemot haita daiti l'shloach ya gam kein becha uve'amcha. Lamot badaver. He's saying, I could have ended this now. I could have ended this already. This could have been it. I could have given in Dever, that could have been the plague which wiped out the population. It didn't need to be Barad, but I didn't. And you should have been effaced from the earth, but I didn't. But I didn't do that with Dever. To show you my strength, to show you how much of a fool you are. I wanted to really show you that, oh, I don't know God. So it's almost, so the way the Rashbam says it, this notion of God making his name known is about bringing Paro down and making him humble. The Sfarim says it about in a different way, and I think it's really important. And I think it's, you'll see that it plays a prominent role. The Sforno says in Source 5, what does it mean that God wants to show his strength? Kedei shetach zor b'tshuva. It's not just that I want you to realize how much of a fool you are for thinking that, oh, what's so special about this, you know, God of the Hebrews, but I want you to do tshuva. I want you to do tshuva. And Barad, in a sense, is aimed at finally getting Paro to buckle, finally getting him to give in. And it almost works. Right? So just, but you see already how it's, there's a significance and a uniqueness to Barad. It also has a certain connection to the other Makos, right? Here it's connected to Dever. If you look in Parshas Bo, Barad is also connected to Arbe. It keeps saying, Arbe, the locust ate whatever the Barad left over. Right? It's almost this double strike. But he hasn't even said what's going to happen yet, okay? And now now Moshe says what's going to happen. You're still being mistolel ba'amil. A very difficult phrase. Look at the Eben Ezra. He gives three different pshatim in what mistolel means. The first one is it's migera minchazek. You're holding on to my nation. You're still, you know, exerting your force over them. Some say it means migzirad misilav atam romim. You're lifting yourself above them. It's a certain prominence that you're exerting. And what he thinks it means, mishtabeach. Either way, this is an attack on Paro's arrogance. It's like you are still putting yourself above the Jewish people. You still are sitting on your throne, on your high horse, looking down at these Jews as if you're in control. And I'm going to show you now that no, you are not. Get down from that throne and buckle your knees in front of me. That's the point of this. And he says, I'm going to rain down on you tomorrow a very heavy barad. There hasn't been such a plague in Egypt from today until now. It's emphasizing how devastating this is. That's point one. But then look what he says here. And here's the other part of this. On the one hand, barad is this incredible plague demonstrating God's power It's devastating. It's deadly. But there's also this reaching out by God to give Paro a chance to do tshuva. And you can look what he says. Ataha shalacha eze miknecha ve'et ha'shalacha ba'asadeh. Bring in, gather and bring in your flock and what you have in the field. Kol ha'adam v'habema asher yimtza ba'asadeh. All the animals and the people that you have in the field, bring them in. V'lo yaseif habayta. And don't let them out of, you know, it's quarantine. It's like, stay safe, stay home, right? Like, don't leave. But that's remarkable, isn't it? Because what is Moshe and Hashem doing here? They're giving Paro advice, right? It's all the other Makos, God always tells, or not always, but often, 2 out of 3, Hashem tells Paro what's going to happen. He never says what to do to avoid it. Here, Hashem is telling Paro, don't stay inside or else you're going to die. He's giving him a warning in advance. He's giving him a chance to not be toppled by this plague, right? That is remarkable. And then the pasuk continues, Hayareya devar Hashem me'adei Paro, he nisit avadav v'smikneu el abatim. Those who are feared the word of God from the servants of Paro, they brought their servants and their cattle into the houses. Vasher lo sam nidvo advar Hashem, and those who didn't listen to God's word, vayazov et avadav v'smikneu basadeh, they left their servants and their cattle in the field. Now this is remarkable because if you think about what is God's goal out of this, what is the message Hashem wants to send through the Makos? What is he trying to show? He's trying to show the very basic theistic message that Hashem controls the world. If you heed the word of God, you'll be saved. If not, you're going to get punished. Right? In a very clear way, God's saying righteousness will be rewarded, wickedness will be punished, and it happens, right, in such a clear way. Whoever listens to the word of God is saved, whoever doesn't is killed, right? So this is a very clear message to Paro. Like, listen, you're not going to win. Just give up, stop being such an arrogant king, you know, realize that your nation is literally dying in front of you, and give in. And that's what the Ramban says. Hayta aitza azo bechaman Hashem, right? God gives Paro this advice in pity. Ki makat ha-barad lo sholchu rak l'hashkei v'l'aret. He's saying, Barad's there to destroy the ground, v'lo adam. It's not there to kill people. Akei norachat ha'im ba'derech l'hatzilam mimena. Therefore, God instructs sins on their path to save them from it, right? Meaning, you see within the Makkah Barad this combination of incredible power and judgment, and God totally destroying those who defy him. But in that same time, within that, Hashem reaches out to the Egyptians and says, I want to give you an avenue toward salvation and toward repentance. Okay? And then it happens. And the pasuk says, it's devastating. So God says to Moshe, spread your hand out to the heaven. There'll be hail all out of Egypt. On everything, men, animals, the grass, the land. And he does it. And it says, Vashem. And this is also worth noting, Rabbi Samit points out in his piece, now, throughout the Makos, there's lots of ways to compare and contrast them. And one of the ways is you can ask the question, who performs the plague? Who's actually making it happen? Sometimes it's Moshe, sometimes it's Aaron, sometimes it's both. And there are a few times where it's Hashem himself. It's God. But this is the most, if you look at the other Makos, it's usually God gets like the wind to blow or something like that. Here, it's very much directly God. V'Hashem natan kolot uvarav atilech ha'esharetza. God put thunder, kolot, right? It's loud, and hail, and there was fire on the ground, and Hashem himself made the hail rain on Eretz Mitzrayim. V'hi barad v'esh mitlakacha betocha barad. There was hail and fire taken within the hail, kaved me'od, very heavy. Asher lo haya kamo b'chares Mitzrayim me'az hayta lagai. There had never been such a heavy hail. Again, emphasizing, this was devastating. It totally annihilated everything. And the barrage strikes the land of Egypt, everything in the field, and people, and animals, and the grass, and the trees. It's devastating. And it's very descriptive of how devastating it was, right? And Chazal add to this, so there's thunder, there's lightning, there's fire, there's hail, it's just incredible. And the Chazal famously put on the Midrash that it's almost the nature is like getting together to do God's will and band together against the Egyptians. The famous idea that Esh and Bara, hail and fire usually are opposites, right? Hail is rain in a form of rain, frozen rain. It shouldn't be working together with fire, and here it did, because they all worked together on behalf of God to fight the Egyptians, right? So this is incredible display of power. But now look at how Paro responds, and this is really essential. Vayishlach Paro, Paro sends, Vayikra leMoshe laAharon, he calls Moshe and Aaron, Vayomer lehem chatati apam, Hashem atzadik va'ani v'ami arishayim. What does he say? I have sinned this time. God is righteous, and I and my nation are wicked. What is Paro doing when he says this? Tshuva, right? As I put out there, yeah. That's exactly what you're supposed to say. What else are you supposed to do? This is a perfect vidoy. Now there are other times that Paro, after this and before, you know, says I'm wrong. I'm going to send you. But here it's I sinned. I am wicked. God is righteous. That's full confession. I'm guilty. I did the wrong thing. This sounds like tshuva. Maybe this is it. Like, you know, we know how it ends, and God tells us how it's going to end, which is always, you know, a fun philosophical debate. But that aside, this sounds like maybe this is it. He's going to turn around. Hatir Lashem, pray to God. Varav miyod kolim lakim muvarad. Right? This is too much, basically. Rav, enough. Like, all the, and the kolot, by the way, it seems like the thunder, the deafening sound frightened Paro. It was too much. So Paro does a complete shuva here, right? If you look at the Midrash, it says, but here's the thing. Why did Paro do shuva here, right? So the Midrash says it's not just about the power, it's about Hashem reaching out. Right, in Tanchuma it says in source number 12, Amar Rabbeinu b'chol mako lo amar Paro Hashem atzedik el mako Paro b'lvad. For all of the plagues, God didn't say Hashem is righteous except for Makat Barad. Lama Adam lelama, why Adam hushu malakish dvakish lalachim and chaveru anatzecho. So a person wants to fight with his friend and to defeat him. Pitamu ba'alav, he attacks him right away suddenly. And you kill him, you take everything he has. You don't, you know, you're relentless. So you want to get someone, you fight with all your might, and you just do it suddenly. Hashem to the Paro. He said, I'm going to get you with everything, so save yourself. So bring everything inside. He gave Paro the chance to avoid this. What kind of, you know, tyrant would do that? No. So God is tzadik. Bara said, look, you're right. I'm wrong. You gave me the chance. Right? And that's the... I admit that I'm wrong. I admit, says the Bechor Shor, I admit that it's God that did everything and I deserved it. I deserved all this. You're right. And so it seems at this point, the Barina Bachai just sort of explicates this. And it seems that... that this is the time he's going to do tshuva. And he says, that, and then the Rabbeinu Bachai says, it's about the thunder, right? That the thunder scared him. It broke his heart. He couldn't take it anymore. And it was time to do tshuva. But of course, Paro doesn't do tshuva, right? He doesn't, right? So what happens? Moshe says to Paro, Kitzeit v'yomer, Ebshar, number 15, V'yomer la Moshe, Kitzeit yetair, Ephrosa kapay al Hashem. When I leave the city, I will spread out my palm to God. There's not going to be any more thunder. there won't be any hail, so that you know that God owns the land. But I know that you're not really, you still haven't acquired this fear of God. And then you have these very two, very cryptic psukim, which seem like they're irrelevant, but I think the simple explanation is that Paro still has a chance to do tshuva. What does it say? Right? The flax and barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. They had already sprouted, they were mature. But the wheat and the emmer were not heard, for they ripened late. Basically, whatever had already become ripe was destroyed, but there were still crops that had not yet grown, and they hadn't yet gone struck, right? So, again, very strange psukim, but the point is, Paro, you have a chance. You have a way to save, even after being a complete, you know, a wicked, stubborn king, knowing you're about to die and saying, I don't care, right? Like, refusing to give in, you still have a chance. You still have a chance. And Vayetzi Moshe Amein Paro et Ta'ir, Vayifros Kapal Vashem, Midamansa Hashem, Vayachdula Kalo Vahabarad, Umatar Lomitach Arza. And the rain doesn't go to the ground. So Vayar Paro, Ki Chadal, Matar Vahabarava Kolo, Paro sees the rain and the hail and the thunder have stopped, Vayosef Lachato. And this is interesting. And he continues to sin. Vayachpe Libo Huva Avadav. He hardens his heart, he and his servants, Vayachazak Le Paro. The heart of Paro is strengthened. Velo shilacha b'nei Yisrael. And he still doesn't send the Israel. Kasher diber Hashem b'yam Moshe. Okay? So here's the thing. And this is Rav Sam, it's Chiddush, but I think it's really from the Midrash. And the question is as follows. Why doesn't Paro give in here? Why didn't Paro give in at this point? What happened? So, you could say that it's because God hardened his heart. Now, the way most Mefarshim, way the Rambam might understand that is that he literally prevented Paro from having Bechira, but that's not a very, because Paro had already earned his punishment, and so to prevent him from being, you know, compelled into doing Tshuva, he says, yo, I'm going to get you five more times to show my strength, but I'm not going to give you the opportunity to Tshuva. Other Mefarshim say hardening his heart means that he gave Paro the ability to, and the strength of character to, even when it made no sense, still refuse to give in. And basically, he's giving him Bechira. However, and that's what Paro basically says here, right? Take a look at the Sfarno in 16. He says, Bore e ma rav risham shapara vavadak. Even though there were still crops that weren't ruined. Moshe balel v'ra'a paro ki chadal kol rab tfilato. Moshe davens, and all the evil is gone. Otherwise, the rest of it would have been gone. So God, it's a combination. Paro hardens his heart, and Hashem hardens his heart. However, Rav Sam points out, it's hard to believe that Hashem would really make Paro sin here. Because Paro started doing tshuva. It seems like a sincere confession. And so it's hard to believe God made Paro not go through with it. That's very theologically difficult. If you look at the Midrash, it's actually interesting. It's not clear that it was God's doing. Because it says in the Midrash, in Source 17, V'yechazak li Paro b'chamesh makor arishonot. It says that Paro's heart was hardened in the first five plagues. The first five, it's just that Paro's heart is hardened because he gets the makos and he doesn't send them. From here on, I'm not going to let him send them. The last five, it says God hardened Paro's heart. But yeah, Moshe goes there by Kosh Baruch Hu Mikayim. Moshe would decree and Hashem would make it happen. Here's the thing. Take a look. So the Midrash claims the first five, it was Paro hard in his own heart, was stubborn by himself. In the last five, God did it. Why? Because it says in the last five, Vayechazik Hashem Eli Paro. Look back at source number 15, and the language of the pasuk is actually not that. The Midrash is a bit inaccurate. It says Vayechazak Le Paro. It doesn't say God hardened Paro's heart for Baron. By the way, it also doesn't say it for Makas Bechoros, because for Makas Bechoros, Paro did send them away. right? So it's clearly inaccurate to some degree. But the point is, it's not clear that Vayechazak Li Paro is God's doing. And in fact, it says Vayachbe Li Bohu Vavadav. So at least it's Paro's doing. Even after Hashem gives Paro the chance to do tshuva, and Paro, after beginning to do so, gives up. And in fact, if you look at source number 19, the Chaskuni says, you know why? Because Moshe didn't mention that the rain would stop. He just said the hail and the thunder would stop. And so when the rain stopped too, Paro said, aha, you see, Moshe couldn't predict everything. And that's what gets him to continue to sin. It's just incredible. And the point is that, and Rabbi Bachai and the Medrash point this out, when Rishaim, often the wicked, even when they finally give in after being punished, after being brought to their knees, the second you let off of them, the second that you give them a chance to get back that arrogance and pride, they go back to their ways, right? That's what it means. To be wicked means not just to do the wrong thing. People do the wrong thing. But even when you are shown clearly that you're doing the wrong thing, you're brought to your knees, and you say, I'm wrong, it's not lasting. It doesn't last. And I think the point is, right? The point is that Paro, this could have been the end. This could have been the end, and the whole story could have gone differently. That's what Samit points out here, or argues. What if Paro could have listened, Paro could have gone through with the tshuva, and then it would have been beautiful, right? The world would have seen that Hashem is merciful, that he punishes those who are wicked, but he also gives room for them to do tshuva, and the Egyptians would have learned their lesson, the Jews would have went free, and it would have been beautiful. But Paro, in his wickedness, refuses to make that happen. And so even though Bara, which is Kol Magevotai, could have been the climax, ended up not being so because of Paro's wickedness and his arrogance. And the takeaway, looking at it, is that you see how careful you have to be about, you know, about not getting, blowing up our own egos. And that to be wicked means to never say, I'm in the wrong, and to move forward. And that's true wickedness. And it's the lesson that God's showing to people is you have a chance to repent even after you mess up so many times. I'm going to give you a chance to repent. I'm going to give you a chance to get out of this, but you got to go through with it. You got to be consistent. You got to maintain that, you know, clarity even after you have a chance to return to your ways. And Paro blows it, and Egypt suffers as a result. So it's a really beautiful, it's a very unique and beautiful makkah, demonstrating both Hashem's power and how